Okay, let's talk a little bit about happiness. From a Buddhist viewpoint, we talk about two kinds of happiness. One kind is happiness that comes from sense pleasures, okay? From seeing nice things, hearing nice sounds, nice smells, nice tastes, nice tactile sensations, okay? Things that originally stem from sense pleasure or stem from our concepts about sense pleasure, okay? And then there's another kind of love, another kind of happiness that comes from internal transformation, from changing our mind. And it's along that line when somebody said that happiness was freedom from desire. Now that's something the Buddha would really agree with. But for the people who are seeking the happiness from sense pleasure, happiness is not freedom from desire. Happiness means having a lot of desire and hoping you get it fulfilled. Because even you get what your desire is fulfilled, you're not necessarily free from desire, are you? Okay. Because we could desire to have a good meal. We have a good meal, but we still desire to have good meals. And in another few hours, we're going to be hungry. Or you desire to fall in love with, you know, Prince Charming. He finally shows up on his white horse. You fall in love. But then, are you happy after that? Okay, because then it's not just a thing of fulfilling the desire to have Prince Charming. But it's what happens after you have him. Okay? When he doesn't take care of the kids and he doesn't take out the garbage and he stays out late and he drinks. Then what? Okay? So that's why, you know, we talk about these two kinds of love, the two kinds of happiness. One that comes by depending on external objects or external people, and another kind of happiness that comes through the internal transformation. Because the happiness that comes by depending on external things is always very unstable because we can't control everything in the external world, can we? Yeah. The external world kind of does what it wants. And we might try and control it, but how often do we really succeed? Okay. So when we see happiness as something that comes from outside of us, from other people, other objects, other places, then we're putting ourselves in the position to be disillusioned and disappointed because we can't control all those external things. Okay? So the kind of desire that is the desire for external things or people to make us happy, it's kind of a setup for being unhappy and disappointed. I mean, of course, we might meet the things or people we want occasionally, and feel very giddy about it and very happy. But then it usually doesn't last for a long time. And so that's why the Buddha really asked us to check up what we mean by happiness. And does happiness really come from external objects and people and places? And do we want to really spend our whole lives trying to get all those external things that we think are going to give us happiness? That how we want to spend our life energy. And the Buddha also proposed another kind of happiness, which is that happiness that's freedom from desire, or the happiness that is freedom from anger, or the happiness that's freedom from jealousy, or the happiness that's freedom from pride. Because if we think about it, think for a minute that you've eradicated the seed of anger within yourself so that you no longer get angry. That means whatever anybody says or does to you, you never react in anger at all. Would that be nice? Wouldn't that be what you would call happiness? Yeah? If your mind were completely free even from the seed of anger. So somebody could come up and verbally tear you to shreds and you feel okay. Wouldn't that be nice? Isn't that worth more than $1 million? So, arriving at the point where we feel this internal happiness is something that we have to go towards in a slow but concise and steady way. It's not going to kind of arrive on our doorstep, because internal happiness depends on internal cultivation. Internal cultivation depends on learning what to practice and what to avoid, and then in putting effort into doing it. So again, it's something that we have to do. But this is really where the Buddha's teachings can be very handy, because they talk so much about how to let go of desire or how to counteract desire. And here, I mean the desire for external things, thinking that they'll make us happy. Because there is a positive form of desire, which is, for example, we desire to be free of anger, or we desire to have an open heart that can love others unconditionally. Okay, that kind of desire is a good kind of desire. No need to eliminate that. But the kind of desire where we're expecting some external thing to make us happy is a setup for disappointment. Okay? But we're still very addicted to it. Now, we're really addicted to external things, thinking that they're going to make us happy. So it requires, you know, really reflecting on our experience and trying to understand if these things actually make us happy or not, and how to let go of the craving for them if they don't make us happy. And we often turn to material objects or money, you know, possessions for happiness. We often turn to other people for happiness, either because we want them to approve of us or to love us, or we want to have a good reputation among them. We often turn to our body for happiness. Yeah? We want our body to feel good or to look nice or to be strong. Okay, so these are all external things that are quite difficult to control. So how do we make our mind peaceful regarding these things? Well, one thing is on how to lessen the desire for these kinds of happiness is to think about impermanence and to think that, you know, everything's constantly changing. So today I might desire to have, I don't know, a new computer, but the computer's changing, it's decaying, one day it's going to be old, you'll have to update it. It's going to get broken. Okay. So, you know, maybe I don't need to crave the computer so badly, and I don't need to be so happy if I get the computer. Okay? So have a mind that's a little bit steadier. If I really need a computer for my work, then yes. Are you working? Maybe. I desire a new microphone. Okay. So, you know, if we need something for the work that we're doing, there's nothing wrong with wanting that. But the difficulty comes when we get attached to it and we start feeling, I need it, I want it, I need it, I want it. And then when we get it, oh, I'm so happy. Because it's those kinds of emotions that really set us up for difficulties. Whereas if our mind is a little bit less excitable, if our mind is a little bit more content, you know, oh yeah, I could use the new computer, but, you know, the one I actually have now is good enough. Yeah, if I get a new one, fine. If I don't, that's also okay. You know, the mind that thinks like that is much more satisfied and therefore happier and not so dependent on external things to be happy. Okay? And similarly with people, you know, if we think about how relationships and people are impermanent and how our moods are impermanent, then we'll see that depending on other people to make us happy is also kind of a setup for disappointment. That doesn't mean that we don't have friends, doesn't mean we back away and we become cold and unemotional, but instead, we have a little bit more emotional equanimity or equilibrium. So, and without being so attached to some people and having so much aversion to other people, then when our mind is more equal, we can be happy with whoever we happen to be with at that time. Whereas if our mind is unbalanced and we're just madly in love with somebody or very dependent on another person, or so attached to a third one, then we're actually telling ourselves, I can't be happy unless I'm with that person. And how often can we be with that person? And even if you were with that person 25 hours a day, after a while you want a break, don't you? Yeah, if you were chained to the person you love, how long could you stand it? Okay. So seeing this, if we can lessen our attachment to others and then in a way open our heart towards a wider variety of people, then again there's a deeper sense of connection and satisfaction. So we're not just dependent on one, two, or three people for all of our happiness. Okay? So when we think about impermanence and transience like this, it helps us reduce the attachment to things. When we and reducing the attachment itself is happiness, is a state of happiness. Another thing that I do when I find that I'm quite attached to something or my mind is really craving someone or something is I run in my mind the whole video of getting it. Okay? I do the whole daydream. I've got this, or I'm with this person, and it's all like this. And then I ask myself, am I happy? No? And if you play out that video, and at the end ask yourself, am I happy? I don't know about you, but my answer is always no. Because nobody or nothing external can fill the sense of uncomfortableness or unease inside of our own hearts. And this, in fact, is where spiritual transformation is so important, because by transforming our mind, that's how we fill the hole in our hearts. It's by that mental transformation. Okay? So how do we go about transforming our mind? First, we have to listen to teachings from somebody who knows how to. Second, we have to think about those teachings and make sure we understand them properly. And third, we have to put them into practice on a regular basis. So that requires some effort on our mind, on our part, to really retrain ourselves. So it's this kind of thing. You know, I mean, this is what life is about. You're sitting there and, you know, some attachment pops up into your mind. Oh, I really want this. Oh, I really need this. And then you stop and think, well, am I going to be happy if I get it? No. Okay, then let's relax. If I don't get it, it's okay. Or the mind saying, oh, I need this. It isn't fair that I don't have this. Na, 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 na. And then you say, huh? Is it good? You know, is it going to make me happy? Not completely happy, no. Actually, what I have is good enough. Yeah, I have enough of whatever it is. So even though others may not really give us what we think we deserve, still, we have enough, don't we? So we can say, okay, I have enough, I'm content. And that feeling of, you know, being able to transform our mind so that it feels content, that itself is internal happiness. It's not dependent on outside objects. And then I think also, the more we're able to develop ourselves spiritually inside, the happier we actually become. So, if we ask ourselves this question again, do I appreciate others enough? And if we realize that we haven't even asked ourselves that question before, then maybe we should start asking it and start checking up. And while we're checking up, if we appreciate others enough, now think of everything everybody has done for us. And do we really appreciate what people have done for us? Or are we usually keeping the accounts of what we've done for them, you know, instead of what they've done for us? Because if we focus instead on what others have done for us, and then naturally arises a deep sense of gratitude or appreciation, then that feeling itself brings happiness and joy to the mind, doesn't it? When you appreciate other people, do you feel happy or miserable? You feel happy, don't you? Okay. So to appreciate others, it means we have to start looking and seeing how much others have done for us so that we can really appreciate it. So it means taking the attention off of ourselves and putting it on others. Because right now our attention is mostly on me. You know, here I am, the most wonderful thing in the world. The world should be so happy to have me here. Yeah, my family should be overjoyed that I am a member of it. My workplace should bow down to me. They are so fortunate having me as a colleague or an employee. We're so self-centered, aren't we? Now, how wonderful we are, how everybody should, you know, they're just so lucky to have us around. Yeah. And that way of looking at life makes us miserable. But if we look at things instead and look at our colleagues and how fortunate we are to have them, and look at our family, how fortunate we are to have them in our lives, and look at our teachers, how fortunate we are to have had teachers. Okay. So look at the people who work at the PUB, or work at the telephone company, or work on the roads, or collect the garbage, and say, how lucky I am to have those people in my lives. When we call a stranger, because lots of times when we're doing business we have to call strangers and, you know, ask for help or, you know, make travel arrangements or whatever, and think how fortunate I am that this person is helping me. And if we train our mind to think like that, then we feel so rich in our own life. And we have such a sense of appreciation in our own hearts. Yeah. And there's no sense of emotional poverty then, because we really are experiencing the kindness of others and realize how much kindness we've received. Okay? And to ask ourselves, you know, are we kind enough to others? And here I'm not talking about people-pleasing. I'm not talking about doing what you think other people think you should do. Yeah. Because pleasing people isn't necessarily being kind to them. Because sometimes we please them because we want them to like us, not because we really care about them. Okay. So I'm not talking about people-pleasing. I'm talking about actually being kind because we enjoy giving, because we enjoy being kind, because we appreciate other people in our lives. Okay? So being kind to strangers that we may meet on the street, or being kind to family members, because sometimes family members are the ones we're the meanest to. Yeah, we take them so much for granted that we feel we can just be as mean as we want to them and still they have to hang around and love us. That's not the right way to think, is it? Okay. But really asking ourselves, you know, in terms of our parents have done so much for us. Have we ever thanked them? Huh? Or your husband or your wife, you know? After you've been married 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, no? Do you really contemplate that person's kindness to you? Or do you just take them for granted? Or tune them out of your life and ignore them? So if we really start looking at what other people have done for us and have a sense of gratitude, that gets, you know, we show that in our behavior. And then, of course, how other people respond to us is going to be completely different. Because if we show kindness, we show appreciation, that, you know, other people are going to go, wow, this person's so warm, they're so friendly. And how they act towards us is totally different. But if we're always keeping the account books of what they owe us, because we've done so much for them, and of course, they always owe us more. And they never pay up enough. If we always keep those kind of internal account books, no, we're not going to have, we're always going to be pestering people, nagging them, having a sour face. And then, of course, you know, that's going to influence how people react towards us. Okay? So even in terms of creating harmony externally, it all comes through the internal transformation and changing our mind. Okay?